My question for you today is this. What do you want to be remembered for? Now, don't shout out the answer, but think about it. What do you want to be remembered for? I remember hearing a sermon years ago called The Dash Between the Dates. And he was talking about, you know, that little dash between the dates of your life, the beginning and the end. But what is it, folks, that you want to be remembered for? Well, he was an awesome partier. Yeah, no. Well, he was an entrepreneur of good restaurants. He was a connoisseur of good restaurants. Well, he was an awesome golfer. He was the life of the party. Great. Wonderful. You know. Well, a nice guy even. What's wrong with being a nice guy? I mean, should we be nice guys? Yeah. You want to be remembered for being a nice guy? I do, in a sense. But I want to go beyond just being a nice guy. How many know that Jesus wasn't always a nice guy? He was a loving man. Amen? He was love personified. And yet he wasn't always nice. Sometimes in nicety is deception. Sometimes it's flattery with an agenda. What do we want to be remembered for? Well, I can tell you what I want to be remembered for, and I'm probably 99% of us here, is that I want to be remembered for as being a man of God. A follower of Jesus, one who was faithful to the end. Amen? Amen? Not somebody who began well but didn't end so well. God wants us to have longevity, you know? He wants us to begin well and to end well. And he realizes that you're going to make mistakes along the way, but the key is that you don't stay down when you're down. Amen? Right. When you blow it, you don't stay down there. You get back up. You get back in the race. You might have to have a pity party for a season, but you get over it, right?
Right. Yes.
How many know that we are not to whine, but shine?
Yeah. Right.
Because when you're whining, you're not shining.
Right.
Now, we're going to look at the minor prophet of Malachi here. And in chapter 3, verse 16. And Malachi prophesied during the days of Nehemiah. The priesthood had become corrupt. The people had become corrupt. The people were living in a false sense of security as to where they really stood with the Lord. Can anybody beside myself see that same thing happening today? That there is a false sense of security among people as to where they really stand with God. How many know that the church of Laodicea did not realize that they were naked and miserable and blind and poor, right? They thought they were doing pretty good. They did not understand their true condition. And if a person does not realize their true condition, they won't desire to be healed by Jesus. They won't desire to be fixed by the Lord. Amen? If we pretend that everything is good when it's not, you'll never become who God wants you to be. If we're not honest about our own hearts, about our own lives, if we just want people to think that we're all that when we're not, you're not going to become all that. Amen? Because it's the Lord who does the work in our hearts. You and I really cannot transform our own hearts. All we can do is agree with God and do what He says. When we agree with God, God transforms us because we're in unity with Him who is holy, who is righteous. He is our holiness. He is our righteousness. So people in Malachi's day thought that they were doing all right. You know, they were kind of like throwing the offerings out there. They were giving blemished offerings to God. They were giving inferior offerings. In other words, it was my spare change. It was my leftover. God, I'll give. Well, I got this old, spotted and well, he's a little diseased. So I won't really miss him from my flock. So I'll give God that. Let me pay off God, you know. Let me throw my dollar in the offering and kind of pay off God. And we're not talking about giving alms today, but how many know that when you give alms here, you're giving to God?
Yep.
Unless you, of course, you think you're giving to man, then you are giving to man, but you're giving to God. And you don't get a reward when you give to man. Amen?
Amen.
Or you give to an organization, as we often say. We are part of a movement. Amen? We are a movement. And the church is made up of people. And so they were bringing inferior offerings. They were robbing God in tithes and offerings. They weren't bringing their tithes and offerings. And yet they're saying, in which way have we offended you? In which way, you know? They didn't realize their true condition. They weren't putting God first in their lives. So the bottom line is that they were lightly esteeming the things of God. They had prioritized their own agendas above God's. Does that sound familiar? When I'm done doing everything I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, if I have any leftovers, I'll give it to God. And you wonder why your life isn't blessed. Why you're not blessed with favor and the provision and the blessing of God. When God is saying, listen, it is a promise of God in Matthew 6:33. That if you will seek Him first, and when you do that, you believe what He says. You hold God to His word. God wants you to hold Him to His word. Why? Because He's integrous. He doesn't say something and not do it. He says, if you seek me first, put me first in everything in your life. If you listen to my word, if you obey my spirit, then I'll take care of all the stuff that you're searching after. Quit searching after all the stuff that you need. Instead, seek him. Just seek God. Turn off the boob tube. Shut off the stupid computer, amen? And all the video games and the distractions that are causing you to be distracted. And get a hold of God. Seek Him and find Him. Get a hold of Him. Say, Lord, I need a word. I need to hear. I need to see. Lord, what am I? Where am I missing it? Lord, I want you to be my priority. And when you make God your priority, He promised that all these things shall be added unto you as well. And so they were making money, but it seemed like they were putting the money into a bag with a hole. It never worked out. And it amazes me that people that really put God first in their life, sometimes they don't make a lot of money, but they're doing a whole lot better than people that are. Because they are good managers. Because they're being faithful to do what God says to do, to put Him first. To bring the first fruit of their offering to God. Their best. And even the tithe, the 10% to God. And I'm not going to talk about tithing today, but apparently it's just going in this direction. So, thank you, Lord. But how many know that tithing predated the law of Moses? Abraham, the father of the faithful, gave tithes to Melchizedek, which was a type of Christ, man that had no beginning. And so in chapter 3 and verse 16, here we see there was a remnant of faithful followers. In the midst of all this backsliding, lukewarmness, delusion, there's this group of people. There was a remnant. And they were the ones who remained true to the Lord through it all. In other words, they weren't influenced by society. They weren't being dictated by what society was doing, by what the media and what television says is cool and popular and how you should live and what you should look like and how you should dress. They simply went after what God wanted. And then those, in verse 16, who feared the Lord spoke. In the King James, this is often, to one another. And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to guide and direct my thoughts and my words this day. Anoint me. Lord, speak through me today. In Jesus' name, amen. This expression, folks, is used to show us that everything we do, everything we say, everything that we even think is known to God, whether that be good or evil. So God sees when you do well, and God sees when you don't do well. Everything God knows. Now, this book of remembrance, it wasn't written because God has a problem with memory. Are you with me, right? God knows it all. What he's saying is that God has everything recorded, amen? It's all there. So you're not going to be able to come before God and say, well, that ain't true. I mean, you know there's going to be some people that are going to try that one, right? It's like the girl who got caught shoplifting. Well, I didn't know that was wrong. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for so-and-so. If it wasn't for my father or my mother or somebody else in my life, I wouldn't have stolen. Blame game. Aren't we good at just blaming somebody else for our own wrong choices? It was the woman you gave me. That was the serpent's fault. Daniel said this. A fiery stream in Daniel 7 and verse 10 issued and came forth from before him. This is the vision he had of God. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. This is talking about the judgment. John says in Revelation 20 and verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the... And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. Moses says to God in Exodus 32:32, yet now if you will forgive their sin, remember the people had idolatrated themselves and they had worshipped a golden calf. But he says, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. Moses was saying, Lord, if possible, blot me out for the sake of the people. How many know he had a heart of love for the people? And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. David, who is prophesying about the wicked here, in Psalm 69 and 28, he said, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Again, the question is, what do you want to be remembered for? What is written in your book in heaven? If God sees it all, if God hears it all, if God knows even your thoughts, if God knows what you do in secret, guess what? There's a record. How many ever said, that guy has a record? How many here have ever had a record? Not a good feeling, right? How many know that there's a record of your life? What are you going to be remembered for is the question. Verse 16 says, those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to respect, to awe, to reverence. It really means, in simple terms, to fear the Lord, are you hearing this, is to take Him seriously. Take Him seriously. It means to respect the Lord. Because you're respecting the Lord when you take seriously what He says. A person who claims to fear God and yet does contrary to the Word of God does not fear God. You cannot say you respect someone and ignore what they say. When children respect their parents, what do? They obey their word. We disrespect the Lord when we don't listen to Him. How many know that we're His children? And when His children don't represent Him properly, we are disrespecting Him. We are not to bring reproach upon our Lord. Amen. We are to bring honor and glory to our God by the way that we live our lives, because we live in obedience to the voice of God. Because we fear the Lord, we do what He says. We take Him seriously. Because there is appointed a day, you know what? That God is going to judge. And everyone is going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then it says there are those who think or meditate on His name. It means keeping the Lord as the object or the focus of your attention. So people who take God seriously also keep the Lord as the object or the focus of their attention. My life, amen, is centered in Christ. He is my foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. My life is built upon Jesus. Amen. My life is to be conformed into His image. So I need to think on or meditate on the Lord. Because when we are focused on the Lord, when we meditate on the Lord, when we think on the Lord, then what comes out of our lives will reflect that. A person who fears the Lord and is focused on the Lord, who thinks on the Lord or meditates on the Lord, their lives will reflect that reality. You cannot worship Jesus. You cannot think on, meditate on, dwell on Jesus and not reflect Jesus. And not reveal Jesus. You know what? Too often we're glow-in-the-dark Christians. We come and we get a dose and then we burn out. Are you with me? But we need to be like the moon. Amen. That's facing the sun and reflecting the full glory of the sun in the darkness. We need to stay focused. And when we focus, when we dwell and meditate on the Lord, then our lives will reflect that. People will see. How did they know that the disciples had been with Jesus? Because they were like little Jesuses in the world. They were doing the things Jesus did. They had the graces of Jesus. Amen. They were moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit as Jesus did. So they took note of Him, even though they weren't very educated. They said, man, Peter and John were just rough fishermen, but God, you know, God was with them and God was in them, and they were just revealing Christ. And they said, well, they took note because they'd been with Jesus. The same thing is true about us. People will take note of your life because you've been with Jesus. How many have realized that to be true? When you abide in Jesus, people will notice. Jesus said, he who believes in me, John 7:38. As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That word believes means to put faith in or commit to. He who believes in me. He who has committed his life to me. Out of his heart or belly will flow rivers of living water. As we abide in him, as we behold him, as we meditate and think on him, think on his name, God takes note of that. And them that feared the Lord spoke often to one another. And the Lord noticed, the Lord took note of that. And a book of remembrance was written before him. And he says, they shall be my jewels. Are there any jewels out here this morning? In Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How many know you can tell what a person is full of by what they say? And we have a choice to say the right things, by the way. We could always say something negative or pessimistic or nasty. But we also have a choice to say the right things. Amen?
Amen.
And when you say the right things show up in your life. When you're speaking well, amen, there's a tendency that things will go well for you. When you go about speaking evil, guess who you're attracting? And one leads to another. It gets, how many have discovered, it only gets worse. The more that you fuss and you whine and you complain, the worse it gets. But when we think on the right things, speak on the right things, amen? When we're focused on Jesus and we're getting to know him, we're cultivating, amen, working on that relationship with him, learning to hear his voice. And then when you hear Jesus speak, you say, now that's something that I need to say. What does God say about it? Huh. Oh, it looks pretty bad right now. God's saying, oh my word, what are you going to do? It's so bad. No. He said, trust me. I'll take care of it. You're down there festering and fighting and striving and stressing out. Hey, I'm right here. Come to me. All you who labor are heavy laden. Amen. I'll give you rest. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way. Sometimes we have to go through that, you know, for a while. And then it's like the Lord just says, hey, what are you doing? In a gentle way. But he wakes us up and he reminds us, listen, if you want goodness in your life, start thinking good thoughts. Start speaking good thoughts. You know, the world knows that. Yeah, a lot of the stuff that the New Age movement, which is not New Age, it's old lie. It's occultism, you know. It's just occultism with a nice white face on it. But they're taking our stuff, folks. They're taking our stuff and they're incorporating it into that. And that's how they're hooking people, because they're saying, well, that's in the Bible too. What they're doing is they're counterfeiting. They're stealing. And they're stealing even terms. And they know that positive thinking produces positive results. Hello. It's in the Word. We don't have to be afraid of positive thinking. Well, that's New Age, positive thinking. What's happened is the devil has stolen that.
Amen.
And he's made us afraid now to even use something that's in the Word, because we don't want anything to do with associate. Well, he's just a counterfeiter. The devil, he's good at manifesting all the things that God does. Are you with me? People afraid of the Kundalini spirit, you know, that the Hindus operate it, and it looks like some of our charismatic meetings. And they say, oh, well, stay away from that stuff because that could be the Kundalini spirit. Who are you seeking? Are you seeking Kundalini or whatever it is? Or are you seeking Jesus?
Amen.
If you're asking Jesus, you're going to get Jesus. What it is the devil steals this stuff, amen, and he counterfeits it, and he has two effects. One is it makes God's people paranoid of anything supernatural. Oh, I don't know. That could be the Kundalini spirit. Are you with me?
Yes.
And so he ends up stealing and robbing something that is precious. And God has given us gifts to us. It's who you worship. It's who you decree, who you declare. It's who you honor. We lift up in this church the name of Jesus. Amen. And because of that, we know that the devil's not going to come in here and do his thing.
Yes.
He's not welcome here, by the way, right?
That's right. Amen.
And so what happens is people shut down. They get paranoid. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth thinks. What is in your book is what you think on and what you say and what you do in life. That's what's going to be in your book. How many would think now is a very good time to change my ways? Now is a very good time for me to immediately stop saying the things I've been saying that God disapproves of. Doing the things that God disapproves of. How many would agree that's probably now is a very good time to stop it?
Amen.
Seeing that everything is known to God. Amen. Question is, what do you want to be remembered for? Does heaven know your name? Does hell know your name?
Yep.
And I hope hell knows your name in a negative connotation. I don't like them. I don't like him. I don't like her. But what you do, what you say, what you think, it's all there. It's all recorded. Now hang in there because there's hope. Some of you are thinking, I'm smoke. I'm done. I'm toast. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, for as a man or he thinks in his heart, so is he. Isn't it true that so often the way we think about ourselves is how we act? If you think you're a loser, then you probably will act like a loser. God didn't make any losers, but if you think you're a loser, often that'll be the fruit. Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, what? How many know that God sees below the surface? If you meditate on the Word of God, guess what's going to come out? If you dwell on pure things, the way you live will be. What you love is what you will talk about. What you treasure is what you will spend your time doing. What you treasure is what you will spend yourself on. How many know that we've only got so many days here on the planet? How many think it would be a good idea to live it for Jesus? Sold out. If you and I treasure Jesus, we will seek him. That's the reality of it. If we really treasure Jesus, then we will seek him. You've heard it said here before, but people who are looking for buried treasure will sell everything they have, amen, to take that boat trip out there to hopefully find that treasure. Because, you know, if they find that treasure, boy, life is going to be a whole lot better for them. How many know that we have something better than buried treasure, amen?
Amen.
Worldly, earthly treasure that rusts and corrupts. How many know that God is our exceeding great reward, that he is the greatest treasure of all? He is the one that we should be seeking with a passion. Why? Because he is, hallelujah, the greatest of all. He is our life. And if we treasure him, we will have a heart that pursues him, that seeks him. And if we've allowed things to come in and choke us, we need to reevaluate where we stand today, whether or not we're really in the faith. What we think on determines what we value. Whenever we value the things of God, he takes note of it. The Lord is pleased when we're pleased to do his will. The Lord is pleased, amen, when he sees us pursuing him. When we delight ourselves in him, he is delighted. In 1 John 1 and 7, it says, but if we walk in the light, as he, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. And in verse 16 here of our text, it says, those who feared the Lord spoke often to one another. Now, how many know that it's not possible to speak to one another unless we're together? Do you think that God takes note of people that go to church? I'm here to tell you absolutely He does. It's important that we come to church. Why? It's because of fellowship. We need fellowship. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, He goes on to say here, folks, I want you to hear this, that He's going to spare those who think on His name. He says, on the day that I make them my jewels, verse 17, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. What is He sparing them from? Folks, He is sparing His jewels from the wrath that is coming. How many know that things are happening right now that should be a wake-up call? God is going to pour out His wrath, folks, upon the world of the ungodly. I don't plan on being a part of that part of it. I do know that we'll have tribulation and difficulties in this world, but I know I'm not going to be suffering His wrath because He has not appointed that to us. But we should obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We should be ready, amen, to meet the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians 1:8, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who, first of all, do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two categories. One, those who do not know God, and those who do not obey the gospel. Those who do not know God are those who have rejected the knowledge of the true God through what He has revealed in creation and in their conscience. And that's clear in Romans chapter 1, that man has a knowledge, a certain knowledge of his Creator. A certain amount of light has been given to all. And even the things of His eternal Godhead are seen by the things that are made, things that we see, reveal the majesty, the glory of the eternal God. And so those who do not know God will come under His wrath. Those who reject the knowledge of the true God that's revealed through creation and in conscience. And secondly, those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have heard the gospel and have rejected it. How many know the gospel is more than just a statement of facts to be believed in? Folks, it's not a statement of facts to believe in. It is a person to be obeyed. When a person disobeys the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are disobeying the Lord Himself. And that's why Jesus said there are some who will claim to be followers of Me, but they're actually workers of iniquity. They've lived a life of sin. And to those He's going to say, depart from Me, for I never knew you. They disobeyed the gospel of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. In verse 10, when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Again, it's not about obeying the rules. It's about listening to the voice of Jesus, the shepherd. John 10:3 says, to Him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name. Does Jesus know who you are? And leads them out. John 10:27, He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Everybody say, follow Jesus. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. Prepared by faith. How are we justified? By faith. How was Noah justified? By faith. He moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. How many know that faith in God, folks, is not just some kind of cliche? Amen? Oh yeah, I believe God. Well, so does the devil. And they tremble. What does it mean to believe? It means to put your faith in, your trust in. It means to commit to. When we say we believe God, it means that I have committed my life to Him. That's what it really means. And those who fear the Lord, those who take God seriously, will speak to one another. We will share. Amen? I mean, you want to talk football? Okay, for a little while. But let's talk about life here. How many know that when you sit around and you're talking about the Lord and the good things of the Lord and the testimony of the Lord and the Word of God, amen, and you're sharing in the life of Jesus together, that the Lord is there taking note. The Lord is delighted that His kids are delighting in Him. And He says, you know what? Those are my jewels right there. I want all that put in this book because the day is coming when it's all going to be brought out. And a lot of things, folks, that we haven't even realized, you know, that we've accomplished and have said or done that please God. It's all going to come out in that day. And He's going to say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Oh, I remember you. I know who you are. We've been waiting for you. What are you going to be remembered for? What's in your book? What's all the stuff written about your life in there? What is it going to be? Folks, let me just tell you today, because some of you are saying, well, what do I do about all that stuff? What do I do about all the stuff that's been recorded about me? Well, if you don't repent about it, you're going to burn. That's what's going to happen, folks. If you don't stop the way you're going, you're going to fry. That's the Bible. There is an eternal torment that awaits those who refuse to submit their knee and bow their knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To those who refuse Jesus, you see, He says, in word you show much love, but your hearts are far from me. You know what I'm saying? There's people that can get up and be so charismatic and dance and jump and shout and do all this and go out and commit adultery and fornication and steal and lie and gamble and do all the stuff that God says, listen, that's not for my children. How many know that God wants His people to stop the nonsense? Yes. Yes. You see, there is a false sense of security. And unfortunately, some preachers are just lulling people to sleep in their complacency and their apathy and their lukewarmness, not realizing that they're on the verge of being spit out. I didn't say that. God said that. He said that to what? A church that was lukewarm. He says, I wish that you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, because you're just kind of like in the apathy, He says, it's a bad taste in my mouth. And unless you repent, you're going to get spit out. Do you know, the Father has done everything for us. For God so loved the world that He gave Jesus as an offering to pay our debt. He gave His best for us. He gave the worthy one for the unworthy one. He gave the sinless one for the sinner. He paid the price for our sins. Jesus died for us. God is just. God is always right. And based upon what Jesus has done for us, it demands that we repent of our sin. It demands that we turn to God and confess our sins and forsake them. Because the one who forsakes his sin will find mercy. He didn't say the one that's always confessed. He says the one who confesses or the one who forsakes his sin will find mercy. You see, there's some people, they go to this thing called confession. And they live like the devil all week long, and then they just go and they make their confession with full well in their heart that they're going to go out and do the same thing the next week. And all I got to do is go to confession. How many know that's living a lie? When God calls us, He calls us to forsake what was the old life, to divorce death, and to walk in the new life that He purchased for us at the highest cost with His own precious blood. Jesus suffered and died for us a horrible death that we could be set free. And God is just. And based upon all that He's done, how can we any longer do those things that grieve His heart? Do those things that put Jesus on the cross in the first place? You see, to fear God is to know Him. The beginning of knowledge, amen, is the fear of the Lord. When you're really beginning to know God, you will know the fear of God that will grip your heart and say, you know what, I can't do that anymore. I don't dare do that anymore. Are you with me? That's genuine repentance. Godly sorrow that works repentance not to be regretted. Godly sorrow means I'm sorry enough that I'm going to quit doing it. Oh, we're good at making excuses. Well, I tried and I don't know. And I'm just doing this thing. And the people are going through this cycle for years and years and years. And they never repent of their sin. God is calling us to repentance. Forsake sin. Turn to the Lord and your sins will be blotted out. Hallelujah. Yes. You will have a brand new beginning, a clean slate, and you will, hallelujah, be one of His jewels in the day that He spares His jewels, and the jewels are going to be with Jesus and the rest of them are going to be burned up. I don't want to be part of that group. Where do you stand today? 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. He knows those who are His. Not that we claim to be His, but He knows those who are His. Are you with me? Is your name in heaven? Is your name in His book, the book of life? And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You see, there's a condition, and it talks about it in the book of Revelation, that though God had been pleading for years and years and years with rebellion and people refusing to listen to His voice, it says that they would not forsake their sorcery. They would not forsake their adulteries. They would not forsake their sin, but they continued to live in it even after the Lord had pleaded with them over and over again to forsake that so that they could find mercy at the cross and so that their sins could be blotted out and so that they could receive the robe of His righteousness and be ready, amen, to stand before the King. But we're living in a time right now, folks, and I believe there's a polarity. You're either going to be in or you're going to be out. But there's no longer going to be any lukewarmness. That is happening right now. There is a shaking taking place. Make up your mind who you're going to serve, who you're going to follow, amen, because God is going to spit out everything else in between. Amen. What I'm seeing and what you're seeing too are people who claim to be followers of Jesus, but they live a life of sin. And they come and they do all the church stuff. They're doing all the church stuff. Are you with me today? Yeah. And that's what the Bible says is called living a lie. And those who live a lie will not be in heaven, folks. They will not be allowed to enter into the city. Why? Because the Bible says that anything that defiles will not be welcome into the city. Heaven is a pure place and it requires a pure people. Amen? And the only pure people are the people that have repented of their sin, turned to Jesus, that their sins might be blotted out. Amen? And that they will receive His clothing. It doesn't mean that we make mistakes. It does mean, though, when we make a mistake, we come to God and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And He says, okay, I did. The blood is there for you. But forgiveness also requires a step of action on our part. It means that not only do I confess my sins, but I renounce them. Not only do I come to God and ask for mercy, but I forsake my sin. And the ones who forsake their sin will find the mercy of God. Amen. Not the ones who make excuses for it. In Luke 12:34, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus lived a life totally committed to the Father. And He impacted the world like no other. There is no other person in history as influential and world-changing as Jesus. How many know that you and I are also destined to change the world. How many world changers are in here this morning?
Yeah.
We're world changers. And the only way to be a world changer is to forsake the world. Amen?
Yeah.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Yeah.
One nation, one holy nation under God. Then those who feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord listened and heard it. He is the silent guest in every conversation, whether that be good or evil. And so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Would you bow your heads this morning? Choose this day who you're going to serve. You're going to serve Jesus, or are you going to serve your fleshly desires? If you're here this morning and you've been thinking about all the stuff that you've thought, that you've said, all the deeds, all the evil deeds, and you've realized that all of this has been kept, all of this has been recorded, I want you to know today that if you will forsake your sin, if you will completely turn your back on it and turn to Jesus with all your heart and call upon him for mercy, that the Lord will cast those sins as far as the east is from the west. I want you to hear this, into the sea of forgetfulness. In other words, God will blot it out and it won't be remembered anymore. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. But you must put yourself in the position for God to truly fill you with his Holy Spirit. And that is by renouncing sin and being willing to go all the way with Jesus. To put faith or to believe in Jesus is to commit your life to him. That means all that I am, all that I have belongs to him. I'm married to him. Will you turn to Jesus today and make up your mind? Quit wavering between two opinions. If God is God, serve him. But choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's make that declaration today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your goodness.